Chapter 20. Autism Today. The court's decision did not stop the CDC from noticing the dramatically rising prevalence and incidence of autism. The trend seemed to have begun in the late 80s and continued unabated ever since. In 1960, autism is estimated to have afflicted 2 in 10,000 children in the United States. In 2000, the prevalence is estimated to have been 1 in 150 children aged 8 years. According to an April 2025 CDC report, autism prevalence in 2022 is estimated to have been 1 in 31 children aged 8 years. The cohort of 8-year-olds in 2000 were born in 1992. In that year, 15,556 children, ages 6 to 22 years, in the U.S., received special education services for autism spectrum disorder. By 2011, this number had increased by more than 25-fold to 406,957. What could be causing the alarming increase of this debilitating and burdensome disease? A recent NBC News report presented the usual programmed answer to this question. Genetic factors, and perhaps some environmental ones too, might also be contributing to the trend. Precisely what those other factors are is still unknown, but researchers are at least clear on one fact. Autism has nothing to do with vaccines. We know for sure, for so many years now, that vaccines don't cause autism, said Santosh Girirajan, an associate professor at Pennsylvania State University who studies the genetic underpinnings of neurodevelopmental disorders and wasn't involved in the new study. On the other hand, what we really don't know is, what are the real clear environmental factors that you should be avoiding? Here, the attentive listener may again wonder how Professor Girirajan and his colleagues know for sure that vaccines don't cause autism, given that, by his own admission, he doesn't know what environmental factors are causing it. Because most American children receive the shots on the childhood vaccine schedule, it is difficult to assemble a large control group of unvaccinated kids for performing a comparative analysis. A 2008 to 2009 study of unvaccinated Amish children found that 1 in 270 were diagnosed with autism spectrum disorder. According to CDC estimates, 1 in 68 children in the general vaccinated public were diagnosed with autism during this period. How to explain the stark difference? Today, the typical doctor, researcher, or public health official will likely say that the Amish study was flawed or the result of cultural differences. Or they may claim that autism symptoms are more prevalent in the general population due to cultural factors to which Amish children aren't exposed. The one thing that's for sure, they will say, is that the spike in autism has nothing to do with all the antigens and adjuvants that are injected into infants and small children. As many as 6 shots in a single visit today. This reflexive and categorical denial of even a possible link between vaccination and autism is a hallmark of vaccine orthodoxy. This posture steadfastly ignores a growing body of analyses showing that unvaccinated children have much lower rates of autism and related neuropsychiatric disorders, attention deficit disorder, tics, epilepsy. In January 2025, Mawson and Jacob analyzed 47,155 9-year-old children continuously enrolled in the Florida Medicaid program from birth. The rates of autism were 1,179 in 43,032, 2.8%, in the vaccinated, compared to 54 in 5,123, 1.1%, in the unvaccinated. The odds ratio of 2.7 was highly statistically significant. The probability of this finding happening by chance is essentially nil. Composite rates of related neuropsychiatric and learning disorders were over threefold higher in the vaccinated. Data were internally consistent with an increasing number of associated and graded increased risks of autism. In 2025, the CDC released data from 16 research sites that use rigorous methods and large sample sizes to identify ASD. Analyzing 274,857 8-year-old children, 8,854 had ASD, with 2/3 having special educational needs. This represents a staggering 3.2% prevalence that is rising in epidemic proportions. Regional rates varied from less than 1% in Laredo, Texas, to 5.3% in California. The dozens of CDC analysts who produced this report concluded with no expression of alarm. Continued increases in prevalence and improvements in early identification of ASD could indicate increasing need for services. Opportunities exist to learn from successful policies, systems, and practices in different communities and implement approaches for equitable identification or service eligibility to help families or persons receive the support they need as early as possible to improve outcomes for children with ASD. The authors make no call to investigate this unprecedented and stunning increase in the prevalence of a grave childhood illness. Many public health commentators, especially those interviewed in the mainstream media, parrot the claim that the epidemic is an artifact of better awareness, detection, and expanded diagnostic criteria. This ignores the CDC's published estimate found that over a quarter, 26.7%, of children with autism in the United States meet criteria for profound autism. Profound autism, a term formally recognized by the Lancet Commission, describes a subset of individuals with autism spectrum disorder, ASD, who require 24-hour support and assistance due to significant intellectual disability and limited to no language skills. Many in this cohort cannot be toilet trained or refrain from banging their heads on solid objects. Analyzing CDC estimates for 2022, we note that among the 34.6 million children in the United States, aged 8 and under, approximately 1.1 million were estimated to have ASD. According to CDC estimates, a quarter of these, or 275,000, suffer from profound autism. This is a stupendous burden for our entire society, overwhelming families, schools, and health systems. Consider that the United States saw the highest incidence of polio in 1952, with over 21,000 cases of paralytic poliomyelitis, many with lifelong sequelae. This experience was the subject of enormous media coverage that terrified most Americans, and yet, rationally evaluated, it is dwarfed by the public health catastrophe of profound autism. That is, 275,000 American children requiring intense, around-the-clock care for the rest of their lives. Nevertheless, most of the medical profession insists that our greatest societal imperative is to adhere to the routine childhood vaccine schedule, no matter the consequences. Risk factors for ASD include common genetic variants, older age of parents at conception, 35 and older for mothers, and 40 and older for fathers, premature delivery before 37 weeks of gestation, and possible toxins in air, water, and food. Finally, there is the rampaging bull elephant in the room. That is, the ever-increasing number of childhood vaccines administered in combined products, often during the same clinic visit. One of the strongest clues that combination vaccination is a risk factor for ASD are the testimonies of mothers. As Andrew Wakefield has pointed out, good mothers are exquisitely tuned to the behavior and moods of their infants. Again and again, they tell the same story. Their infants met all development milestones for their first 12 to 20 months of life. After a clinic visit in which the baby received multiple shots, the child experienced an acute reaction with irritability, ceaseless crying, fever, vomiting, and febrile seizures. Following this terrifying experience, the children regressed into an absent and unresponsive syndrome diagnosed as autism. Documentation of sudden infant deaths may also yield a clue about what is causing autism. Dr. Neil Miller analyzed 2,605 infant deaths reported to VAERS from 1990 through 2019. He noted that 58% occurred within 3 days post-vaccination. A total of 78.3% occurred within 7 days post-vaccination. Miller's study confirmed that infant deaths tend to occur in temporal proximity to vaccine administration. In a notable child and adolescent twin study in Sweden, 27,092 twins were assessed at their 9th or 12th birthdays. Diagnoses of 492 febrile seizures and 282 cases of epilepsy were compiled from data published by the Swedish National Patient Register. The study's authors concluded, after adjusting for epilepsy, a significant association between febrile seizures and autism spectrum disorder, developmental coordination disorder, and intellectual disability remained. Nilsson et al., also from Sweden, reported that among children who have febrile seizures of any cause, a staggering 41% eventually suffer neurodevelopmental disorders, including ASD. Approximately 2-5% of U.S. children between 6 months and 5 years of age experience febrile seizures each year. Thus, if a considerable proportion of febrile seizures occur shortly after children receive multiple vaccines, it is plausible that routine childhood vaccination accounts for a significant proportion of ASD cases. In 2022, a Cuban research team led by Maria Robinson Agramonte published an exhaustive review citing 236 references. They concluded that ASD is strongly associated with immune system dysregulation, especially with cytokines, inflammatory molecules that elevate after vaccination and penetrate the brain. It is a perfectly plausible hypothesis that for a subset of children receiving injections containing up to 12 infectious disease pathogens, inactivated and live attenuated, and adjuvants to simulate their immune system will trigger an adverse reaction that causes a high fever and brain damage. The Cuban authors also pointed out that allergic diseases are overrepresented in ASD, with asthma presenting more frequently in early life in children with this disorder. Other researchers have also documented a significant association of allergies, rhinitis, atopic dermatitis, and urticaria, type 1 diabetes, and Crohn's disease with ASD. Food allergies may play a role in the gastrointestinal dysfunction frequently observed in autistic children, including those that were drawn to the attention of Andrew Wakefield. Whether this is primary or secondary to poor dietary habits, the microbiome signatures are distinctly abnormal. The immunopathological mechanism underlying this comorbidity in autistic children may be mediated by immunoglobulins and neuropeptides derived from activated mast cells and basophils. These may release cytokines that affect the gut and the brain. Some parents of children with ASD have reported behavioral improvement after implementing a gluten- and casein-free diet. Fecal microbiota transplantation, FMT, may be helpful in the treatment of ASD, as rebalancing the gut microbiome has been shown to potentially improve behavioral symptoms. Multiple data sources suggest the autism epidemic is fueling an associated epidemic of so-called gender dysphoria. Autistic children are commonly ostracized and vulnerable to the flood of pornography and indoctrination strategies in K-12 schools that push the concept of gender fluidity. A significant fraction of transgender persons has been diagnosed with autism. Many autism networks and related organizations promote the concept of neurodiversity, that is, the notion that autistic people are simply different and should not be regarded as suffering from a pathology. Advocates of the idea emphasize the importance of recognizing and valuing the unique strengths and perspectives that neurodiversity brings to society. This ideological conception aims to promote the self-esteem of autistic children and to console their parents with the thought that there is nothing wrong with their kids. This appears to be yet another distraction from the true challenge confronting American civilization, namely, the urgent need to ascertain what is causing the autism epidemic.